Welcome to Living the Good Life here from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're glad you're here with us, and we're going to have a great day today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and in the studio through the glass is my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury. Hey there, Pastor Jim. How are you today? Whoa, wait a minute. Let's get your mic on. There we go. That would help, wouldn't it? Wait a minute. Let's get the right one.
All right. There we go.
All right. Nan, speak, will you?
Is that good enough?
There we go. Now we know which one you are.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Nan and Pastor Jim, this is great. We're going to have a great show today. And welcome everybody in Radio Land and out there on the Starcom Media Network. And you hear us at different times. And in different states across this nation, many of them, and in different countries. So welcome to every one of you. We've been hearing from more and more people. And we welcome you to contact us at Pastor, that's me, or Pastor Jim, PastorJim@BOHMGlobal.com. And go to our website, and you can even do that as you're listening today, BOHMGlobal.com. It's just... Ooh, wow, what a joy to be able to be back here in this seat. I've been gone for 2 weeks on vacation and with the family and the grandkids, the grandsons, and wow, what a lot of fun. But back to work we are today, Pastor Jim.
And we're glad to have you back.
Well, that's nice for you to say. I miss it so much. I mean, this just seems so such a blessing to be able to do this show week after week. We're in our 9th year on this show, Pastor Jim. Doesn't even seem possible, does it? Wow.
I mean, just crazy. And I'm, wow.
Yeah.
You know, that's, and I think this, because I think last week was show number 434.
Was it? Okay.
And this, I believe, then would be 435. So we're just racking them right up there.
Yes. And so many of them are on our website. Nan, tell people why they would need to know that, would you?
Well, it allows them the opportunity that if they have to miss a show, they can listen to a show there. If they wake up in the middle of the night, can't sleep, they can go there and listen to a show, pick out something by title they would like, or pick out someone with their favorite radio people on there. Well, however they like to do it, they would just hear the word in the middle of the night when they can't sleep. What a better thing to do than that?
That's right. Absolutely. And we've got hundreds on our website. Great big website. So there are at least 300 on there and probably a lot more than that. And the reason they're not all on there is because we weren't doing these podcasts when we first started, No 7 on this. So things have changed a lot, and we thank God for this ability to put these shows on our website so they stay. At the end of each month, our webmaster will go and take every show from this month, which is July, and put them on our website, BOHMGlobal.com. So any of them that you may have missed this month, you can go there and find them, along with a whole lot others. So it's a joy to be able to do the show. We're excited about what God is doing in our lives. Pastor Jim, thank you for hosting last week, and you always have fun. You had Betty and Megan with you, didn't you?
Had Betty and Megan, and the show was just great.
Fantastic. The God of the Impossible, I hear, was the title.
Yes.
Wow. All right. That's pretty cool. So we've been in a series about all-out alignment, getting ourselves aligned properly with God, His plan, and His will for our lives. It's been fascinating the last few weeks as we have drawn closer. I personally have drawn closer to the Lord through this series. Nan, do you want to comment on any of that before we get to our first song?
I just really just have grown and learned a lot of things to be able to apply to my life, just getting in alignment with God's will for my life. And it's been very enlightening to learn about Gideon and yes. What he did and his obedience. He was a very
Absolutely.
Obedient man. And at one point he kind of questioned God, you know?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And that makes me feel better because there's times I have questioned God, you know? And he doesn't mind us doing that, but then he gives us the answer. Then we do need to move forward as he has directed us once he gives us that answer.
Absolutely.
Gideon did that, and we see a great victory that happened in his life, and the same will happen in ours if we do the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. Gideon got in alignment, didn't he?
He got in alignment.
With what God's plan was for him. And Pastor Jim, we see that being in proper alignment really does create breakthrough in our lives, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And there's... It's so important that we have that alignment and
yes.
that we let nothing stand in the way of it.
Right.
Because,
absolutely.
You know, sometimes we let this, that, or the other thing. And, you know, sometimes we think some of the things that we let stand in the way are okay things to hold on to.
Right.
And I'm speaking actually about stuff going on with the three of us.
Right. Sure.
And with a lot of other brothers and sisters, you know, we think, well, I have a right to hold on to this. No.
I have a right to be in...
I have a right to be in misery. I have a right to be...
yeah.
I have a right to be ashamed. I have a right...
Right,
I have a
sure.
right to be depressed.
Right.
No.
No.
Because we don't. I mean, and that's what's going to stand... God's, that's one thing God's been dealing with me about is giving up my rights to these things that I think are so... important to me.
Amen. I hear you.
Because I can't move on with him.
Right.
If I'm still walking in those lies.
You know, that's such a heavy truth and so powerful that we get to the point a lot of times in our lives where our emotions are ruling us instead of really being right where God wants us. We're sitting over here in maybe a pity party or a fit of anger or a fit of frustration or depression or whatever it is. We're going to talk more about that on this show today and how you get yourself out of that, how God brings you out of that as you line up with him. This is going to be a powerful anointed show. Let's pray and get going. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for this opportunity to come into the homes, the cars, wherever people are listening today, and we'll listen in the future to this show. Lord, we give you glory and praise for what you are going to accomplish during the next couple hours. We know that you have a plan, you have a purpose for this show, and for the three of us to be here on it together today. Lord, we want your wisdom, your guidance, your glory to be so strong as we teach your word, as we listen to these powerful ministry songs, as we get into the realm of understanding that you want us to each have today from this show. Lord, we thank you in advance for the miracles that are going to happen to people in their lives as they get these truths down on the inside of them. You get the glory and praise before we ever say a word or have the first song. Lord, it's all in your hands and it's to your glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Pastor Jim, would you announce and kind of tell a little bit about this first song, will you?
I love this song, You Love Me Anyway by Sidewalk Prophets. I just want to encourage everybody. I think one of the things that keeps us from coming into all-out alignment with God is that we just don't feel like he loves us enough or that we have to do
amen.
Something.
Yes.
And I want
Good
everybody
point.
To listen to the little bridge in the center of this song or toward the end.
Okay.
Because it's the Sidewalk Prophets just nailed it. They said, you know, I was a sweat on your brow, but you loved me anyway.
Right.
I was the thorn in your crown.
Wow.
And I can't even... I just get out the Kleenex is all
okay.
I can say. But I mean, it's so true. Even to the point of I was Judas's kiss.
Wow.
But you loved me anyway.
Wow.
That's how great God's love is.
Yes.
And so we should never let an inferiority thing come between us, or shame.
Yes.
Or anything, because God loves us more than that.
Amen. And that really speaks to the story of Gideon, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Here we go, Sidewalk Prophets. You love me anyway. Take these words to heart.
Question was raised as my conscience fell. A silly little lie. It didn't mean much, but it lingers still in the corners of my mind. Still you call me to walk on the edge of this world, to spread my dreams and fly. But the future's so far, my heart is so frail. But you love me anyway. I am the nail in your wrist, but you love me anyway. I am Judas Iscariot, but you love me anyway. See, now I am the man who yelled out from the crowd. You love me anyway. Oh God, how you love me. Yes, you love me.
Praise God. You love me anyway. What a powerful message this song brings to all of us today. Nana's got her little laptop in the studio in there. I can see you. You've been typing. You got something from God during that song, right? Fresh off the hot plate of the Holy Spirit.
Fresh off the hot plate of the Holy Spirit.
Entitled, there you go.
I love you so much. Despite what you've done in life, I still love you anyway, precious one. I gave you a very special gift, eternal life through my son. Don't look at what you've done, but rather look totally unto me. Of those binds that currently hold you, you can be released. You can be free. I look past all the things that you've done, and I look deep within your heart. I see what you can be in your life. Of this new life, will you decide to start? I am here. Just reach out for my help. I am here for you. I love you so much. So what will your decision be today? Will you accept my healing touch?
Wow. Oh, that is just right on. We love the way God gives poems to Nan during our shows. It's just amazing. And it speaks so much about our humanity. And we have seen that in the life of Gideon. As his humanity at the beginning of the story of Gideon in Judges 6, where we began a few weeks back, Gideon is really feeling very depressed, discouraged, and feeling like he doesn't amount to much of anything and that God can never use him. And, you know, in that poem, Nan, I heard God saying, you know, I love you anyway, no matter what, just like in that song. It's there, isn't it?
Right, yeah. I mean, sometimes we can't understand. I mean, I can't understand his love for me when I was being so rebellious and spiteful towards him.
Right.
It was towards him and in situations. But yet he loved me.
Yes.
And he saw, and I haven't arrived yet, don't take this wrong, but he saw what he could make out of me.
Right.
And he's continually molding.
Exactly.
Me, as he is all of us, molding us as we choose to allow him to do that. So he loves us anyway, despite what we've done.
Absolutely. And such an important point about the life of Gideon there that goes right along with that, Pastor Jim, was just how at the beginning of his story, before the transformation in him, he is so like all of us at the beginning in Judges 6, isn't he? Just how inferior he felt, how insecure, how just worthless he felt.
Well, and how questioning. I mean, angel first comes to him, he says, you know, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior.
Right.
And Gideon says, excuse me.
Right.
If the Lord's with us, why is all this horrible stuff happening to us? And now, the prophet earlier had already said, this is why all this horrible stuff is happening to you.
Right.
But it's like so many people in the Bible, and some often like us, when God tells us something, we want to take it a different direction.
Right.
To, in a sense, take the spotlight off of us. Because here the angel said, you know, blessings on you, mighty warrior. And Gideon just wanted to deflect that away from him. He didn't want to be a mighty warrior. And then
he was kind of crying in his soup and liking it, right?
Right. And
feeling sorry for himself, pity party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, the angel said, well, okay, this, go in the strength that you have. Not,
right.
You know, it's, he met Gideon where he was at. And
exactly.
Said, go in the strength that you have.
Right.
All of us have strength, and God multiplies that.
Yes.
He may reduce the numbers of those around us, like he did later on with Gideon.
Right.
But he multiplies the strength.
Yes.
And it's just an incredible thing, because he said, I am the runt of the litter, as the Message Bible puts it. I'm small tribe. I'm the smallest in the family.
Right.
Why in the world did you choose me? I have so many things going against me. Why would you even think about choosing me? And I think I think we need to remember the story of David. It's a lot about what's in the heart.
I mean, just getting ready to make that point. That's what it is. God looks at our hearts.
Right. God saw Gideon's heart and knew that here was somebody who could,
yes,
who could follow God and rally the Israelites to defeat the enemies.
Exactly. God's always looking at our hearts. And so often we think that he's looking at what family we come from, or how prestigious, or how much money we have in the bank, or if your dad was a missionary, or whatever the case may be. And it's really about every single person's individual heart. What's going on there? Are we loving God, or are we in rebellion? I still love Isaiah 1:19, and I bring it up a lot. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. And I think so often that God is really just looking for willing and obedient people, not people that have got their, you know, maybe their degree in divinity or something like that. Not necessary. You know, God can use every single one of us, no matter whether we have the education, Bible education or not. And I think a lot of people try to opt out of letting God use them by saying some of these same things that Gideon was saying. Well, I'm the runt of the litter. I'm just not good enough. I don't know enough. Why would you use me? I'm not a mighty warrior. And I know we did a show on this a few weeks back, but we're kind of coming to a conclusion here on this all out alignment. And it bears coming back to this point. We cannot be in alignment with God until we will accept that he has a plan for us and jump into that plan. Nan, you want to comment on that? She's not sure if she wants to comment.
No, I'm not sure. No, it's is there for us to move into.
It is, yes.
He will. The cool thing about God, and this is one of the things he's been dealing with me about for a while, is he will only show us the next step.
Okay. Which frustrating, isn't it,
well,
gang?
Sometimes it can be frustrating. But like with Gideon, he didn't show him that end result of what was going to happen.
No.
It would have probably overwhelmed Gideon to
such
a point that he just said, okay, pause off, I'm out of here.
Exactly.
There's no way I can do, there's no way. But yet, as God would to lead him one step at a time, directed he'd do something one step at a time, as Gideon would, he questioned God, as we have studied, but he would move forward and he would do those things that God directed him to do. Then that was like preparing him for the next level and preparing him for the next level. Mm. And then once he got down to that last level, that big, great victory, you know, God doesn't, in most cases, not to say, probably in most cases, God does not show us the total everything at the beginning of when we start doing because it would be so almost overwhelming, we might just throw in the towel and quit because we figure we can't do this. But as God matures us,
yes,
as we mature in him and we get to know him better and we follow him more closely as we mature,
right,
then when the big thing comes that we're doing, we're like, I was prepared for that. God prepared me for that.
You know, that's just excellent, everything that you just said. And all during that process that happens, and happened in Gideon, and happens in every one of us who desire that process to happen, the enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, trying to find someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8-11. The devil is always trying to bring fear and inferiority, insecurity. I can't do that. What's wrong with you, God? You know I can't do that. Pick on someone else, not me. Pastor Jim, comment on that, because the devil is in there working to keep us from our destiny and from all out alignment. Well, and you can ring the bell on that, because that's what the devil is doing. There you go.
And that's that's true. Any way that he can.
Yes.
With Gideon and with Moses, it
right.
was, Moses, I love it. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue.
Yeah.
Excuse me, you were brought up in the household of Pharaoh.
Right.
I really doubt that he was slow of speech.
Right.
You know, and here he'd been, and that being brought up in the house of Pharaoh meant he'd been well educated.
Right, absolutely.
Gideon, probably not. I mean, he probably knew very little of, I mean, I'm sure he knew enough, but who knows if he was even able to read Hebrew.
Right.
But Moses, on the other hand, was well educated.
Right.
And yet he still put himself down.
And he was a stammerer, right? At least we think that's what that meant.
It's possible.
It's possible. Yeah.
And yet God, again, going back to that, looking at the heart, and sometimes
yes.
we think, I don't want you to look at my heart. My heart's black. But God sees even beyond the blackness of our heart.
Amen.
You know, and we've all sinned. Bible says we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God.
Right.
And, yeah, there may be darkness there, but if we're Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in the deepest part
exactly.
of us. So it doesn't matter,
right.
you know. And I think some people get scared. Well, I don't want God looking in my heart. I don't
right.
want him knowing. I don't want him looking inside me. He already has, and he still loves you. It doesn't
exactly.
matter what junk is in there. He still loves you.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what you've done, what you haven't done, what you think you did. What matters is you think about what you think about yourself.
That's right.
God looks at your heart, and one of the things about getting into alignment is aligning yourself with what God says you are in his word.
Amen. That's it right there.
You know, because that takes care of the shame, the inferiority, whatever
right.
it is. If we get into alignment with what God says about
yes.
us in
yes.
the word, in the Bible, that takes care of all the other stuff.
Right. Absolutely. And the book of Ephesians is a great book to start for any of us about who we are in Jesus. You know, in him, there's like, in the first chapter of Ephesians, there's like 7 or 8 in mm-hmm. hymns. In him we have this, and in him we are seated in heavenly places with him above all rule and authority. And there's so many things that getting into alignment means, really, getting into what the word says about us and what God feels about us and walking in that instead of what the devil is throwing at us on an hour by hour, minute by minute basis sometimes with these darts of inferiority and insecurity and fear. Fear is one of the biggest ones, and we've talked about that a lot. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And we did a show on that recently, mm-hmm. because fear is the opposite of power, love, and a sound mind. Fear would have kept Gideon totally from all the victories and everything that happened, but here's the deal right here, and I want us, you both, to talk about this. Gideon had an encounter with God. And I think that what happens so often in people's lives is they know about God. They've heard about him. They grew up maybe in Sunday school singing Jesus Loves Me, but they haven't really had an encounter with God. I throw that out at both of you. It's one thing to know about God. It's another thing, like Gideon in Judges 6, to have an encounter with God. Talk to me about that, Pastor Jim, and then Nan.
Amen. Nan, is that all dates inside your Bible there?
Yes.
Yeah, I've done the same thing. You see my oldest Bible.
I was looking back for something.
But I saw that, and it brought to my mind, yeah, and I know probably listeners may have heard me say this before, but that's so true. I grew up in church. We went because it was like the socially acceptable thing to do. So we went to church, the little church around the corner. And every year I went to church camp, and every year I got saved.
Right.
Because it was Thursday night. They wanted to catch us before we went home, and we had Thursday night revival. We walked the sawdust trail.
Right, yeah.
And yet, there was never any follow-up in the church I was going to.
Sure.
So every year, I thought I needed to get saved again.
Right.
And I knew, I mean, I went to church and didn't really read the Bible back then. But I knew about God. In fact, my senior year in high school, I got all hepped up on Bible prophecy. I'd read The Late Great Planet Earth and the book 666 by Salem Kerbin. So, I mean, I was studying Bible then,
right?
But I knew about it. I even preached a sermon in church before I got saved.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, for crying out loud. That's right.
Yeah, can you believe it?
Yeah.
But then there came that day, and that's what made me think. Because in my oldest Bible, I have the date that I got saved written in.
Sure.
The date that it stuck. We'll put it that way. But
right.
You know, that's the day I stopped knowing about God and entered into a relationship with God.
There you go, right there.
And it's so important because you can know every theological argument, every creed of the church, every nuance of the Greek and Hebrew, and it doesn't do you any good.
Amen.
Unless you know the God who stands behind all that.
Absolutely. And that comes from relationship. That comes from encounter. Like Gideon in Judges 6, his encounter with the angel of the Lord, which I think at first he thought was an angel, and later he realized it was God himself in a form, what we call Christophany, appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. And he had that encounter directly and realized it was God. And he was in amazement that it was God himself that was taking time to talk to him. And I think a lot of times people have been so conditioned to think that, you know, God does not really care about every single one of us and all the details of our lives. In fact, I've heard people say God's too busy to see about the little things. We need to take care of those ourselves. But that's not his attitude, is it?
And that's not biblical.
And it's
not
biblical.
Scriptural.
No. Nan, talk to us about this.
Well, he saw me open up my Bible. I wanted to look at a date.
Yeah.
I can think of two specific times of encounters with God. You know about both of them. One was on my birthday when I turned 50.
Mm-hmm. I do know about that.
In 2011. And something happened on my birthday that really hurt me.
I remember it.
Really, really hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't at my office, but it was something that happened. So I was at my office. I left out of my office and went to find a quiet place because I was just crying. I was so upset. And God, I just had an encounter with God that day. I just had such a yearning to want to know him more. And I mean, it was just this driven,
I remember
just
that
strong
day.
Drive of just wanting to know more and more of him. I mean, it was like, it was the best birthday present, and that's the way I looked at it. It was the best birthday present I could have ever received. Was
exactly.
What I received from God on that birthday, and how he comforted me.
Yes.
And how he was there
yes.
for me. And I mean, yes. that was, like I said, I'm glad that happened.
Right.
Because I had a great encounter with God because of what had happened. And he just met me right there, and it was totally, 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 totally awesome. I called you, and I shared that with you.
You did. You did. And you know, this just revolves right around to this whole theme of Gideon, in that if there had not been a bunch of problems going on right then, which is so like our human nature, when things are all perfect and great and hunky-dory, as we say, and no issues, and you're just a happy camper, you know, we tend to not seek out God. That's human nature. But when our back is up against the wall, like here it was for the Israelites, they had not had much food for 7 years. Their crops were being destroyed by Midian. And they were absolutely in a bad place here. And because of that, Gideon was even trying to make grain. He was out in a wine press. He was trying to
thresh it out in a wine press.
He was doing something that really was almost impossible to do physically. And he was hiding around, doing this at night so no one could see him because of fear, because of the enemy. And basically, all of their crops were being destroyed, so they were in a very bad place. And so, dear ones out there in Radio Land, if you happen to be in a very bad place right now, and it seems like everything that you put your hand to is a mess, maybe your family, maybe your marriage, maybe your finances, maybe your job, whatever it might be, look up and rejoice, because when it's like that is when you're going to find these encounters with God, like Nan just described on her 50th birthday. You're going to find him more present, more right there to encourage you, comfort you, bring you joy. And I speak this to myself today because I'm going through a trial right now that's very difficult. But I tell you what, I know from experience that when I'm going through a difficult trial, God reveals his nature more to me than ever before, which causes me to want to be more aligned with him than ever before. Pastor Jim?
Well, I just was thinking of James.
Ooh. James.
The book of.
Yeah, the book of James. Wonderful.
Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials and temptations.
James 1, 2.
Because it's the testing of our faith that produces the character and the endurance and all of that. If our faith never got tested, we'd still be babies.
We would be.
In Jesus. And Nan had alluded to that earlier with Gideon. I mean, it's step by step.
Yes.
God... very rarely shows you, okay, these are all the things you're going to accomplish in your life, because it would be too overwhelming for us.
Right.
I mean, if God had said, okay, you're going to be part of a radio team, I would have just scoffed, you know.
Right.
Like, yeah, right, whatever. Surely you're putting this strange idea in my head. And yet...
Look what happened.
I mean, step by step,
yes.
I see how God has moved in my own life, in the life of lives of people close to me, and you guys, you know, you all's lives. It's kind of a step by step sort of thing. What is it in Isaiah? Line upon line, precept upon precept,
yes.
A little here, a little there. And God said, and I can't remember exactly which verse it is. But he said, I will drive them, when the Israelites were going to go into the promised land, he told Moses, I will drive them out before you little by little.
By little. Yes, I love that verse.
Because if I do it all at once, all the wild animals are going to come in, and it's
right.
going to be worse than you could ever imagine.
Right.
So God takes us step by step. And here he did with Gideon.
Amen, amen.
You know, but the Israelites as a whole, and Gideon also, had to be brought to a point where... they'd listen.
Yes.
Because
that's a good point.
If we're kind of doing it on our own,
yes.
we're not we're often not listening. We don't have a hearing ear for God because everything's going fine.
Right.
But and that shouldn't be. Obviously, we should have that hearing ear whether things are going good or bad. We should be listening for whatever God wants to tell us. But sometimes we don't. And when we don't is when we fall into whatever things are happening.
Yeah.
Then we're going to start listening. And that's what happened with Gideon and the Israelites. They cried out, God sent a prophet, and that started the wheels moving for their deliverance. And God looked down at Gideon and said, here's somebody who's going to do it.
Right.
The angel came, and he said he thought it was a man. You know, he had no idea. And he was being hospitable and said, let me go, you know, fix a kid and some bread for you. And then all of a sudden the angel said, you know, touched the offering.
Right.
You know, he set it, Gideon had set it down on a rock, thinking the guy was going to eat it.
Right.
And instead he touched it with his staff and it became a whole burnt offering.
Yes.
And then the angel, you know, was gone. And that's when he realized, oh, heavens. This wasn't just an angel. This wasn't just a man. This wasn't just an angel. This was God himself. And he said, I'm going to die because I've seen God.
Right.
And then, you know, the Lord spoke to him and said, peace.
Right.
You're not going to die.
Yes. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. And don't you think, both of you, so often when we're in the midst of the biggest trials of our lives or really stressful times or hurtful times, that when we do take time to spend with God, as Gideon spent with him and not even realizing it was him, but Gideon, you know, set aside what other things he was doing that day. And when this angel appeared, he was right there ready to hear what God was saying to him. And when we take that time, it's a step in us getting aligned with his purpose for us. When we take the time, set it aside, and really decide that we want to hear what he has to say to us. Talk to me, Nan. Talk to us.
Well, I was, you know, I'm on vacation last week and this week. So I had 2 weeks off. And I have so much enjoy. I have to go to work like at 7 in the morning, and I have to leave Clearwater by about 6 to get to Tampa in time for work. And it's hard to try to get up before 5:30 in the morning for me to go. So this has been such a wonderful time. I've had some medical appointments going on and different things and family obligations. But I've managed to start every day with God.
Woo!
And he and I used to spend a lot of time together actually in McDonald's for breakfast time.
Exactly.
And he would give me poems and he would give me things and I'd read the word. And it was just, that was our time, was in McDonald's.
Right.
I mean, that went on for months and months when I used to work a different schedule. And so I've had such a blast because he has met me and we've spent that time together.
At McDonald's
or this morning at another place, but wherever. I'm actually getting out of the house.
Yeah.
Because you'll have a roommate who's there, and then sometimes there's obligations of what you should have to try to do. I just remove myself.
Right.
Start my day with God.
Right.
Start my day spending time with him. He speaks to me, shares things with me. I talk about
God.
What he gives me. So it's been a great, great, woo, refreshing time for me, being off, spending that time. And he will reward us, like you have been saying, for the time that we spend with him.
Amen.
He speaks to us. He leads us maybe in things to do. He leads us in maybe I need to call, say, Pastor Jim today to see how he's doing. Whatever, however God. But that is special, special time with God.
Right.
And he will meet you. Where, you know, now some people might say, I don't have the luxury of being able to leave my house because I have 3 children and a husband.
Sure.
And yes, I don't have to work out, but I take care of the home. And that's a lot of responsibility right there.
Sure.
That's a lot of responsibility. But you can take your quiet time. We've discussed this before. In the shower.
Anywhere.
Right. Anytime. You can just do that, and he will meet you, and he will honor that. He will, you know, maybe you can't spend that just isolated so much time with God. I mean, I'll spend 2 hours, whatever, until he gets through, and then we get through, and then, you know, maybe you can't do that, but he will honor, and he will meet us right where we are as we are dedicated in reaching out to him and setting aside the time that we can. He will honor that, and he will bless the individuals, bless us for doing that. It doesn't have to be some long drawn out 3 hours in the morning. It might be a quick 10-minute shower, but that is concentrated time that he will bless us if we do that.
You know what? You're exactly right. And I'm writing these two things down so far because we're talking about coming into all out alignment. Okay. All out alignment. And PJ, we started, you made the point when we did our first song here, which was You Love Me Anyway. That first point is that when we get it through our heads that he loves us no matter where mm-hmm. we are, what we've done, all of our failures, all of our shortcomings, all of our bugaboos, if you will, that he loves us just as we are, then we can begin to line up with his plan because we know we're accepted. You know, if you're in a crowd of people that are hostile towards you for whatever reason, or your family members, your mother, your dad, somebody's really upset with you, you don't want to really hang around that situation very much. You just want to get out of there, you know, especially family dinners when there's somebody that's mad at you that's mm-hmm. there at the table and you're like, I just want to leave. I just want to leave. I'm not comfortable. But when we can't really come into all out alignment until we realize he loves us just the way we are, no matter all of our flaws, mm-hmm. all of our shortcomings, all of our times of fear, doubt, insecurity, inferiority, anxiety, all of that stuff. And those things, and I want to make this point about that, because those things, we become so often used to them that we make allowances, if you will, we make excuses for all of that junk within us. Instead of doing the very best thing about all that is to line up with the Spirit of God and what God's Word says about us, and then watch those things fall away out of our lives, you know? And yeah. Go ahead.
We're good at making excuses. I'm good at making excuses. I can blame behaviors on, well, so-and-so did this, or this happened at work, or blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And that's just us listening to the devil.
It is.
You know?
Comes back to that point.
You know, it's just... Because it's a it's a way to get us sidetracked.
That's right.
And keep us stuck somewhere.
It's a diversion.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, look in Genesis chapter 3. You know, when God was confronted Adam and Eve about what they had done in the garden with eating the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, he confronts Adam, and he. Adam goes, it was her.
Yeah.
It was that woman you gave me.
Right.
It was her fault.
Right.
And, you know, Eve said, when he confronted Eve said, it was the serpent.
Right.
You know, kind of making an excuse. It wasn't my fault. It was her fault.
Exactly.
It wasn't my fault. It was the serpent's fault. And, you know, we've been doing that ever since.
Right.
You know, at least... You know, one example completely opposite that would be David and Bathsheba. At least when David was confronted by Nathan the prophet, he just simply said, you're right.
Yeah.
I've sinned.
Right.
He didn't make up any excuses. And that's why I think that's one of the reasons he was called a man after God's own
yes,
heart.
Yes, yes.
Because even though he sinned, and he sinned big.
Right.
I mean, he committed adultery and had a man murdered to try and cover it up. When confronted, he said, you're right. And, you know, he wrote Psalm 51.
Right.
At that point is when, you know, he wrote Psalm 51. And that's what we need to do when we're confronted, or when we try and make up excuses, is say, you know what, God, you're right.
Amen.
And the wonderful thing is, when David did that, the sin was gone, and he went on.
Ooh. And that's because God loves us so much. And let's listen to this song, Banner of Love by Luminati.
There's a fight between my heart and soul. When my pride tries to take control, it's hard to see what I was meant to be. And we are living in a world without a cause. And there's a need that seems impossible, but I can hear, I hear you calling me to raise a banner of love up high in these city streets. One hope for all the world to see. Be my banner of love. This love is a burning flame. One voice crying out your name. You're my
Love those words. You're my banner of love. Woo! One hope for all the world to see. Raise a banner up high in the city streets. One voice crying out your name. You're my banner of love. And it's not just a matter of us loving people. Oh, I love you. I love you. You know, it's not like that. It's that deep love that God puts in our hearts. And we realize he is love. God is love. 1 John 4:8. And because of that, we want him in our lives more than ever. And we want to carry that banner, don't we, Pastor Jim?
Whoa. Yeah. And that
wow. That's
is,
so good. I love that song.
The banner is something. God's love is something that almost in a sense requires us to do.
Yes.
You can't sit on God's love.
Right.
You can't keep it in. It requires.
Good point.
It almost requires action on your
part. It does. It does.
And again, in 1 John, it says, you know, if don't just love in word and deed, but in truth.
Love
if you see somebody in need, do what you can to meet that need. That's showing God's love.
Right.
Preaching the gospel is showing God's love. Sharing words from God, like Nan does with her poems, is sharing God's love. It's not complacent. It's not passive. God's love is not passive. It is that banner over us. It's something that people can see. Sorry, I was having
your banner over me is love.
I know. I
that song from the book of
Song of Solomon.
Your banner over me is love.
Looking up chapter 2, verse 4.
That's it.
He brings me into his banqueting table. His banner over
me is love.
And that's something for the world to see.
Right.
God's love requires action so that the world can see his love. We can say we love God.
Right.
And we have God's love in us and that God loves you till we're blue in the face.
Right.
But unless that love is demonstrated, then how are you going to know? And I think of what Paul said in Romans. God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for
us. Woo.
So when people don't understand, when people mistreat you,
right?
That's what we can go with the Beatitudes. Blessed are you when this happens.
Sure.
It's an opportunity for you to show God's love.
Exactly.
Christ died for us when we were yet sinners.
Right.
So therefore, our standard is the same.
So important. And, you know, we wear this banner. It's over us. We wear it. I was thinking when you were talking about that, about my great love for baseball, as you all know, and our Rays, which weren't doing so good the last I knew here today. But, you know, I've got some Rays shirts and I go to games from time to time and I don't walk in there with a Red Sox shirt on, although I do know some people who do, and if you're listening, that's okay. But I go in there with that Ray shirt just in support, you know, of the team and how much we all love them and all that. When we walk around with that banner of love, we may not have a shirt that says Jesus loves you, but some of us probably do, but it's our attitude. That's that banner over us that comes out in our attitude. When we're in alignment, and the more in alignment we get, the more the love comes out, okay? And the less alignment we have in our lives, the more our old nature comes out, which is hatred or anger or fits of rage or violence or whatever the case may be, bitterness and unforgiveness. Those things come out more when we are not in alignment. We see Gideon here, and after his encounter with Almighty God, he sets about to make sure this is what God is telling him to do, and he gets some signs, and we've talked about those in the last few weeks. If you missed those, go to our website and catch those shows, bohmglobal.com. However, the important thing is Gideon wanted to make it right. He wanted to be sure he was hearing correctly, Pastor Jim, and that's admirable, mm-hmm. don't you think? When we don't want to make a mistake there, we want to make sure we're hearing from God correctly. And so, you know, and Nan, you can comment on that in a minute, but it looks to me like you're busy typing. So Go ahead, Pastor Jim. That banner of love over us, when we are walking in that, when we have that as a primary objective of our lives and of our day, is to make sure we're walking in God's love. And that's even towards ourselves, mm-hmm. and not beat up on ourselves. Then it's visible. We're more in alignment, don't you think?
Well, and like what happened with Gideon here. He built the altar, named it Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is my peace.
Yes, amen.
And then that very night, God said, okay, here's your first task.
That very night. I love that. He did not waste any time for Gideon to sit around and second guess it.
Right.
And so often God does these suddenly moments, don't you think?
Well, yeah, because you're right. We sit around, we second guess. Did I really hear from God?
Right.
Was that really God? You know? And that same night, God said, okay, here's what I want you to do. Tear down the altar to Baal and knock over that Asherah pole, which, by the way, belonged to your father. And, you know, and he did it. I mean, he did it at night, but he did it.
Right.
And God honored that. That was like that first small step. And even though some of us in our self-righteousness would say, well, I did it at night because he was afraid. He was just a big old chicken. God still honored that.
He still honored it because we can't, yes. And God makes allowances for those emotions in us that we're still working on.
He certainly did in Gideon's case.
He sure did in Gideon's case, right?
You know, he told Gideon, okay, you're going to deliver the Israelites from the Midianites. And Gideon set out those two fleeces. And I'm not saying I agree with setting out fleeces because that can lead to deception.
Oh, absolutely.
But God honored it.
He honored it.
The point is, he honored it in this case.
Yes.
And he didn't smack Gideon around for it.
He was okay with Gideon questioning.
Yeah.
God, is this you or is this not you?
And I think that's a safeguard.
It is.
Because I think God would rather have us ask, is this really of you?
Right.
Than to follow any impression that happens to float through our head.
Exactly.
And assume that it's God.
Right.
You know how we like to watch those crime shows. We were watching one this morning about a Pentecostal pastor who just figured out anything that floated into his little head was from God, and he ended up committing a murder.
Oh, wow.
And then trying to cover it up because this was of God. God had told him to do this.
Yeah.
Now, excuse me. I looked at Ray and I said, did he ever read the Bible?
Right.
You know, it's in the, you know.
Exactly.
You got to back it up with the Bible.
Right. Got to back it up with the Word.
But
so often our emotions, and that's kind of, we're talking about that a lot today on this show, about coming into alignment. Give you an example of this. My youngest son had an opportunity. He's a law professor. I had an opportunity to take a job a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago or so. And he also had the opportunity to take that job a year from now. And they gave him that opportunity. And so as it turned out, they said, sure, if you say that you'll wait and come a year from now, that'll work. That'll be fine. Right away, both my son and his wife had this feeling on the inside of, oh, that wasn't right. After they gave the option to the employer, we could wait for a year. After they did that, then they felt this, ooh, unrest, like, oh, that's not right. There's something wrong. That's not right. And they felt really agitated. I was up there visiting them, and my son and I talked, and he said, it's just not right. Something's not right. I think I messed up. I think I opened my mouth when I shouldn't have. I stepped into it. I just messed up. And I said, well, I'll pray for you. God's gonna make it clear. Maybe you're supposed to be here for this year for a reason. 3 days later, he opened his email, and the dean of the law school wrote and said, you know, our circumstances have changed. We really don't want you to wait a year. We need you now. What can be done to get you here now? And Mark said that as he began to read that, it was that joy, that peace came over him. He said he was crying. It's hard for me to tell the story without crying because he was. And he knew because he cried out to God and said, you know what? I messed up over here. I shouldn't have opened my mouth like that. And God, I feel like I messed up. And God gave him that other opportunity, and he walked through the door this time in peace. I mean, so like God. Nan, do you want to comment and give us whatever God's got for you?
I'm real happy for Mark.
Exciting.
It is. They're exciting. Moving in a couple weeks, 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, the Lord gave me a poem, and it's called I See You As You Can Be.
Oh.
I don't look at you as you are now, but rather I see you as you can be. You can move forward with strength into a life that is destruction free. Satan is always going to try to keep you in a place of despair. In such strife, I will help you to become so much more. I will help you learn and have a better life. Your life can be a banner unto me. The decision is yours. What will you do? I see you as you can be, little one. From destruction, I desire you to be free. You can be a banner of love for me. That's what I desire. What will you say? Will you move forward, marching on for me? Will you look to me right now and pray?
Ooh, praise God.
And, you know, I'm glad that God sees us as we can be and not necessarily as we're. I've been sorting through some things at a place I have in Tampa, and I'm running across a lot of the poems, because he used to do this poem thing back in the early 2000s, uh-huh. Late 1999, 98, and then 2000s, 2001, 2002. Then I kind of walked away from him because I got hurt in church.
Right.
And something really bad happened, and I had to walk away. And I walked away, went to another church for a little while, then I just totally stopped.
Right.
So for 7 years, basically, I didn't go to church at all. And just a very turbulent time. But yeah, he saw me as I could be.
Amen.
And I can see... You know, he's inspired thousands of poems at this point. I mean,
right.
just throughout all the years, I don't know how many, but lots, because I'm running across binders full of them. And it's interesting, some of the ones that I'm not stopping reading everything, or I would never get anything done, but he's bringing through weird ways certain ones to me. And I can see where he was, it wasn't striving with me, but it was basically waiting on me.
Right.
And in the midst of, maybe I wasn't totally in alignment like I needed to be, but I was trying to do the best that I could do at the time. And then to compare poems he gave me then to poems he gives me now, I can see a stronger strength coming through those
poems.
Sure. And stuff these promises I'm seeing through in those poems. And
right.
It's like just being in alignment, you
right.
know. And we're all at various stages of that thing of alignment. You know, and someone might look at you and Pastor Jim and say, yeah, but look at them. Look where they are.
Oh,
but Pastor Jim has shared many times on the show of where you have shared, where you have come through, what you went through, even what you've already shared this afternoon already now. You know, and how as we learn, as we grow, as we study and we listen to him, we get more alignment with him, just as Gideon did.
Absolutely.
As we've already said, and that God doesn't necessarily show you the whole big, gigantic picture because it would be so overwhelming, I'd probably walk away.
Right.
I mean, like, you know, Pastor Jim, you talked about being, if I'd have known that, I'd have been on the radio team. I'm with you, man. You know, if you'd have told me, you know, 6-7 years ago that I'd be on the radio show, I'm like, say what?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
All right. Let's talk more about this in just a second. Station
WTAN, ID. WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay.